Hi, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of The Stoic Advantage. This is Ryan here, and I thought today I would read a passage from William B. Irvine's book, A Guide to the Good Life, The Ancient Art of Stoic Joy. This is a great book for those who are just getting into Stoicism to check out. I've mentioned it before on the podcast. So basically, this book gets into the history of the Greek as well as the Roman Stoics. It also talks in depth about some of the main Stoic practices and then gives a history of Stoicism in general. So it's a really great book. I would recommend even for those who feel that they're experts in Stoic philosophy, though I think no one would really consider themselves experts because it's a philosophy that's supposed to be lived out, not just theorized about. So it's a great book to check out. And I came across a chapter the other day on exile, which is really interesting because for those who don't know, three of the main four Roman Stoics, that is Epictetus, Seneca, and Musonius Rufus, were at some point in their lives exiled. And so they had to live somewhere on their own for a prolonged amount of years, and they had to deal with that situation. And right now we're in a circumstance where we're not exiled from our homes, but we're sort of exiled from the greater world, from other people. We are reduced to staying into our houses or apartments or wherever you are and have to create a meaningful life away from other people. So I do see some interesting similarities there. So I want to read a passage from the chapter on exile. And this particular passage is about how Seneca handled his own exile. So here we go. In chapter 12, I mentioned Seneca's consolation to his mother, Helvia, who is upset at his being exiled. In the consolation, Seneca confronts her by telling her that exile isn't really that bad. Not as bad, at any rate, as people make it out to be. Exile, he explains, is nothing but a change of place. Furthermore, even in the worst places of exile, the exiled person will find people who are there of their own free will. It may be true, says Seneca, that by being exiled, he has been deprived of his country, his friends and family, and his property. But he has taken with him into exile the things that matter most, his place in nature and his virtue. He adds, quote, "It is the mind that makes us rich. This goes with us into exile, and in the wildest wilderness, having found there that the body needs for its sustenance, it itself overflows in the enjoyment of its own good." Seneca apparently spent his time in exile reading, writing, and studying nature. I find this really interesting because Seneca here is reframing the situation and he's looking at his exile as a good thing, something that could lead to personal improvement. And he actually has to console his mother to be like, don't worry, I could get through this. In fact, this will make me a better person. And Seneca also went through a similar circumstance when he was sentenced to death. When he was sentenced to death, he was basically reduced to being cut. His veins were cut and he was going to be bleeding to death. He would eventually, because the veins weren't, the blood wasn't coming out fast enough, he asked if he could have poison as well. So his death was a very slow death and those around him were crying. And as they should, they were grieving. But at the same time, he was telling them to remember to reframe the situation and be like, you know what, we could take some good out of this. At least we lived, or I lived, a really good life. And I'm being grateful for that. So here's Seneca in the situation, looking at the silver lining in a seemingly negative situation. I highly recommend as well, if you've ever looked at the book, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It's called The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph. It's a really great book as well, which basically takes that Stoic principle of reframing, particularly what Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, said in that what stands in the way becomes the way, which means obstacles can lead to opportunities and for us to grow. There's a great chapter in Ryan Holiday's book, which is called Recognize Your Power, and it's all about the boxer from the 1960s who was nicknamed Hurricane. He was Hurricane Carter. And Reuben Hurricane Carter was someone who was famous not just for his boxing, but because he was wrongfully convicted of triple homicide. and he actually spent many years in jail, but he was not resentful for going to jail, even though they found out later that he was innocent and they let him free. He wasn't bitter when he came out. He used that opportunity to grow as a person. And in the book, Ryan Holiday writes, "Even in prison, deprived of nearly everything, some freedoms remain. Your mind remains your own. If you're lucky, you have books and you have time, lots of time. Carter did not have much power, but he understood that was not the same thing as being powerless." I really like that because at this time we think we have no autonomy, we can't get anything done, or we can't really progress. And really, right now we're given probably the greatest gift there is, that is more time. You know, unfortunately, if you've been laid off from your job or something happens where the situation has changed, you're working from home, and you find yourself with more time. More time is not a burden. We shouldn't be thinking that we want to waste this time. We should be using this time for the best of our advantage. And that's something that I'm trying to do myself with this podcast and a couple other projects. I am still working, but obviously I don't have to commute or I don't have to attend physical meetings anymore. I'm able to be at home, obviously, throughout the day. So I'm trying to use that time as a gift and treat it as a gift. So I think, you know, looking at the Stoics, they were great at reframing. And I think that's something we should be doing now in the situation that we're in. And, you know, I'm looking on the news and there's places reopening and there's places that are saying that they're flattening the curve. And that's great. And people are like, I just can't wait until this is all over. But really, I think we should live in the present moment, know the situation we're in, and just try not to skip through life and really try to make the most of what's going on right now. So I just wanted to share those two passages with you, the one from Irvine and the other one from Ryan Holiday. Like I said, I recommend both books. They're not particularly, they're not obviously primary texts. So I recommend if you really want to go to one of the primary texts, take a look at Seneca and the Shortness of Life. We read that in the first episode, or letters from a Stoic. But if you want to get to know a bit more about Stoicism from a secondary point of view, Ryan Holiday has a number of great books. Other ones are Stillness is the Key, Ego is the Enemy, and Irvine as well has this book. He has another Stoic book that came out in September of 2019, the beginning of this school year, which is a really great one to check out. So be sure to check out those two books. I know next time I think I'm going to go back to talking about a couple tips that Epictetus left us in terms of starting the morning well. I know the first time I talked about Marcus Aurelius, first episode, so I want to go back to talking about the morning because I think that's a really important time to be thinking about right now. Many of our mornings may be a little hectic right now or a little out of sorts, so I'll be getting back to talking about mornings next episode, particularly talking about Epictetus. So until then, thank you for tuning in. Please follow the podcast. If you are not following it or download the episode, that would be great. And that gives me motivation to continue with some of these episodes. And until next time, take care.